protect your boats and recreational vehicles with FBP RV and Marine antifreeze. It has burst-proof protection down to negative 50 degrees, keeping you protected against freezing temperatures. Keep your winter worry-free with FBP ready-to-use RV and Marine antifreeze now at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of automotive products.
Save big money at Menards.
Him, nothing was going to happen. The whole world was at peace, and now the world is blowing up around us. All of these things that you read about were not going to happen. Under President Bush, Russia invaded Georgia. Under President Obama, Russia took Crimea. Under the current administration, Russia is after all of Ukraine. Under President Trump, Russia took nothing.
And under candidate Donald Trump, you took 93 minutes of my life by listening to that. But actually, it was sort of, it was mesmerizing, while at the same time being just, frankly, a little bit odd. But let's not prejudge it too much. Let's talk to Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent, who I've been bumping into all week long in Milwaukee at the Republican National Convention. And I'm glad to say that he's up almost as early as me. Good morning, Simon.
Morning, Matt. We are never getting that 93 minutes back.
I wasn't in the hall when it happened. I was on my way to Washington, D.C., and I listened to it on the way from Baltimore Airport to the center of Washington. And most of it, I just thought, oh, this is going to end. But it wasn't. It kept me company throughout the traffic jam. And actually, I found myself not just falling asleep, I sort of half fell asleep, but it was really an extraordinary incantation. The tone of it was so odd, because it wasn't quite as abrasive as he normally is. It sort of trailed off a little bit at the end. But you know, I was in the Trump zone. That doesn't mean I believed a word of what he had to say, but I could see how he gets there, right? What do you think?
Well, it was a speech desperately in search of an ending. I mean, it was, I think, 46 minutes into the speech when he said, right, now it's time for me to do a big finish. I've got to finish loud. I've got to finish properly, you know? And I actually thought, oh, well, here we go then. Here comes the big finish. Because he had very effectively started that speech with the telling of the events of last Saturday.
And it's in some detail, right?
It's not even, in considerable detail, it's not even been a week since he survived that attempted assassination. And he had the delegates in that hall in the palm of his hand, and I think the television audience as well, as he related the searing experience of having gone through that attack. Toughness under fire, defiance, his decision to stand up and pump his fist in the air and tell everyone in the crowd to fight, 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 which then led to all the convention delegates intoning fight, fight, fight. So at that point, and he was subdued in his telling of the story, and that fit the narrative that he had completely torn up his speech and written a new series of remarks. Except then, when we all thought it was packing up at 46 minutes past, you know, into the speech, then he reverts to type completely and actually delivers the speech that he really claimed he had torn up, which is the traditional stump speech where he goes after all of his enemies, where he says he can do things like solve the war in Ukraine and the crisis in Gaza. He can solve all of those in 24 hours. Oh, and by the way, they would never have happened if he had still been in the White House, because Russia, China, presumably Hamas, certainly Iran, they're all quaking in their boots about his possible return. Plus, just an endless multiple times through the next 45 minutes of the speech of returning to the issue of illegal immigration, the invasion kept calling it.
Using very strong language, I have to say. I mean, those people who thought he might have toned down his message on immigration would have been sorely disappointed.
Absolutely. Well, it then became a very dark speech. I mean, there were points of it that it was relevant of the redolent of the American Carnage address that he made in his initial inaugural address. And he lost the audience. I mean, I was watching Marjorie Taylor Greene, one of his closest political allies. She had been in the family's viewing box 24 hours previously, right behind Donald Trump, watching the J.D. Vance speech. She left the arena with 25 minutes of the speech left to go. She'd had enough. So, you know, I think
when you've lost Marjorie Taylor, you're in trouble, aren't you?
Yeah,
I mean, she's a true
believer. Exactly.
So tell me, Simon, when you just, let's talk a little bit about the family, the Trump family or Trump clan hoping to move back into the White House. So Melania finally came out of her witness protection program. So she was there, grinning from ear to ear. Ivanka and Jared, who we haven't seen, you know, for months, if not years, they were there. Excuse me. And of course, the sons, who are now all powerful, aren't they?
Yes, I think just worth making the point, there is no indication that Melania has any plan to move back into the White House. Indeed, it appears that she's not planning to move back into the White House, but might, as First Lady, head to Washington, D.C. for the big events that she absolutely needs to be there for, the state dinners, the Easter egg roll, the Christmas decorations, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Don Jr. and Eric Trump, in that order of priority, absolutely now view themselves as part of the infrastructure of the new Republican elite. And I think there's no question that Don Jr. himself has political ambition. I mean, had we found ourselves in a situation where last Saturday night, the story from Butler, Pennsylvania, had taken a different turn, and Donald Trump had been assassinated, I think you would possibly have seen a coalescing around Don Jr. as the candidate potentially to replace him. And I think the dynamic between Don Jr. and J.D. Vance, now the vice presidential candidate, is going to be interesting to keep an eye on in the years ahead, assuming they win in November. But they are absolutely now the top generals in the family army. Ivanka and Jared, as you note, have very much withdrawn and withdrew immediately after the events of January the 6th, 2021, and the uprising on Capitol Hill. So it was certainly interesting to see them in the arena on Thursday night. And, you know, Jared Kushner is the man credited with forging the agreement to get the Abraham Accords signed in the Middle East. He's been off making money and developing business projects in various parts of the region. I think it's likely that he would be brought back in to play some kind of role if he and Ivanka are agreeable to do that.
And just finally, Simon, this idea that, you know, Trump has sort of galvanized the nation with this extraordinary image of kind of rising up above a Secret Service detail, and that, you know, slogan, fight, fight, fight. It's such a visceral image. They certainly felt in that hall, did they not, that he was going to win the election. I mean, they're just romping all the way to the White House, especially with Joe Biden still at the top of the ticket. I mean, is it your impression that another person could dislodge him, you know, easily from that, from victory? Or should we just actually, the way that Silicon Valley and Wall Street money is now thinking, just, you know, get used to the fact that Trump's going to be the next president?
Silicon Valley, Wall Street money, Volodymyr Zelensky, the British ambassador. I mean,
really?
There were a large number of diplomats walking the grounds from European countries, including the British ambassador, Dame Karen Pierce, in Milwaukee. All of them trying to engage in outreach to Trump world, figure out who the various
because they think he's going to win.
Yeah, because they're all pricing in his victory. Yeah. Could another Democrat dislodge him? Well, I mean, that depends entirely on who the Democrat is and how long it takes to get there, because there is no sign of a dislodging taking place this Saturday morning. Joe Biden is digging in. He is at war with Nancy Pelosi. He is at war with Barack Obama. The New York Times reporting today that he is even at war now with the Clintons. Furious that all of their surrogates took the opportunity to go after him while he was convalescing in Delaware from COVID-19. You know, this notion that there was suddenly going to be a Sunday announcement by Joe Biden of his decision to depart the race was entirely fueled by leaks to the media from people loyal to Pelosi and Obama who want Biden gone. But Biden is showing not only no indication of going, he's showing every indication of digging in. And this is an internecine struggle that every single day that it continues further tarnishes and shreds the Democrats' brand.
Indeed. And he's being true to his Irish-American instincts and roots. You know, if under attack, stay stubborn and dig in. Simon Marks, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program in your studio here in Washington, D.C. Wonderful to see you all week at the convention and to speak to you this morning.